place, no hiding place down here.
You rolled out of Rosine, a dedicated man. You drove those country back roads to a 1,001 night stands.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Vincent, the queen of bluegrass music, and you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock right here at the Wayback Show. You take care and blessings to you.
Did it look like old Kentucky when the gates swung open wide? That the good Lord's got you playing somewhere up there every night. Is the grass any bluer on the other side?
Well, yes, friends, following those classic gospel favorites, we're once again back here on the Wayback with Johnny Show here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. I'd like to invite y'all back into the second hour of the Wayback program here as we remember the year that was 2025. With that, we can also be heard via CFRC 119 FM throughout the limestone city of Kingston, Ontario, Canada, and also heard over www.oshawarocks.com throughout the Durham and Greater Toronto areas. I'd also like to mention that we are heard via YouTube on Wayback with Johnny Woodlock on YouTube. Now, as I welcome y'all back into the program, I'd like to also remind y'all that this is the year in review, and with that, we have lost many legends along the way of 2025. With that, I would like to pay tribute to a double feature of a dear friend of mine and a lady who we miss at the Grand Ole Opry this time of year especially, but it's going to be a classic by none other than Miss Country Soul herself, Miss Jeannie Seeley, who passed away on August 1st at the age of 85. I would also like to salute her today with two of her biggest hits. One of them is going to be an all-time classic called Don't Touch Me, and we'll follow that with another more recent recorded version of her classic called Can I Sleep in Your Arms Tonight, Mister? With that, I would like to welcome y'all in and just dedicate these in loving memory of a dear friend of mine for many years, Miss Jeannie Seeley. I'd also like to make mention that she had done our program many times over the years, at least 3 to 4 times over the years, and with that, we would also like to play a little clip from one of those old archived interviews from the Wayback Files. Welcome in, friends. Now here's Miss Jeannie Seeley.
And truthfully, you know, at our age, it's not our era anymore. We had our era, and the young people have to bring their feelings and their sounds to the fore.
Your hand is like a torch. Each time you touch me, the look in your eye pulls me apart. Don't open the door to heaven if I can. Don't touch me if you don't love me, sweetheart. Your kiss is like a drink when I'm thirsty. For you with all my heart, but don't love me then act as though we've never kissed. Oh, don't touch me if you don't. Sweetheart, don't give me something that you might take away. To have you, then lose you, wouldn't be I
if I can't come in. Don't touch me if you don't love me, sweetheart. No, don't touch me if you don't love me,
Grand Ole Opry. I just want to thank you for listening to my buddy Johnny Woodlaw right here on CFRC 101.9. We're way back country and we like it that way.
Don't even care enough to lie.
Well, yes, friends, following those classics by Miss Jeannie Seely, we are once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC and also www.oshawa.com. rocks.com. As we welcome you all to the program once again, I would like to share that this past year of 2025 was not an easy one to get through, as we lost many a legend and personal friends during the 2025 year. The first one that we lost of noteworthy fame was on January the 15th, and that is pioneer legendary lady Melba Montgomery, who passed away from dementia on January the 15th at the age of 86. Now, for Miss Melba Montgomery, we will hear an all-time classic that's called Before She Changed Her Mind. Then we'll follow with another legendary icon of both popular music but also ventured into country music as well, and that'll be Miss Connie Francis, who passed away on July 16th at the age of 87. Now, I had been a longtime fan of Connie's music over the years. I was also very fortunate to have her on the program in 2020 as well. So from Miss Francis, it will be her all-time classic version of Ray Price's old favorite called Heartaches by the Number. Then we'll remember another pioneer who passed away this year, Johnny Tillotson, who passed away on April 1st at the age of 86 as well. From Johnny Tillotson, it will be a song called It Keeps Right On A-Hurtin'. And I would also like to make mention that these are just scratching the surface of those legends we have lost during the past year, but are some of the most noteworthy of the ones we have lost. With that, we'll dedicate these to them and anyone else we have lost this year. Welcome and friends.
My world will end. Heartache number one. night, wishing I could hold you tight. Life seems so empty since you went away. The pillow where you lay your head now holds my lonely tears instead, and it keeps right on. Since you're gone, it keeps right on a hurt every minute of the day. Every hour you're away, I feel so lonely, and I can't help. They say a man should never cry, but when I see you passing by, my heart breaks down and cries a million tears. You broke my heart and set me free, but you forgot your memory, and it keeps right on. You're gone. It keeps right on a hurting every minute of the day. Every hour you're away, I feel so lonely, and I can't help it.
Hi everybody, this is Connie Francis, and you listen to my good friend Johnny Woodlock.
Now, friends, we have just heard from some of the legends we have lost in American country music this year. Now, I'd like to pay tribute to the segment I like to call the Great Canadian Northern Gems by Even Greater Canadian Northern Legends. With that mentioned, we have also lost many of our Canadian legends as well this year. So let's begin with our good friend Brent Williams, who passed away on July 28th, the age of 85. Now, from Brent Williams, he's going to be doing an all-time classic called Back Home in Georgia. Then we'll follow with our good friend from Alberta, Carrot Creek, Alberta, in fact. And that is Harry Rusk, who passed away at the age of 87 on March 20th. And he will be doing a classic called The French Song. Of course, this is made famous by Lucille Starr. And then we'll follow with another all-time favorite that, of course, is the pride of Bentley, Alberta, another Alberta legend. And that is none other than Dick Dameron, who passed away at the age of 91 this past year on March 29th, and from Dick Dameron, we're going to also hear an all-time favorite called The Prophet. With that, we would like to welcome you all in and just dedicate these in loving memory of those we have mentioned. Welcome in, friends.
Living in a five-room suite, air-conditioned in central heat, 14 floors above the traffic's roar. Gazing at a penthouse view, got a built-in bar called a TV too. In all my dreams, I never asked for more. But I find that I was wrong in dreaming, for all my plans and all my scheming just ain't brought this old boy peace of mind. And this fancy world that I'm a part of somehow just don't have the heart of the place called home that I left far behind. And I wish I was back home in Georgia. Back home in Georgia, instead of this big old city all alone. I wish I was back home in Georgia. Back home in Georgia, where there's a little more understanding, and the world ain't so demanding, and my baby waits for me to come back home.
blows a big Cadillac and make her queen of all that I survey. Yes, but every time I think I'm free, there's another mountain calling me, and I'm stuck back here for another lonely day. Yes, I wish I was back home in Georgia, back home in Georgia, instead of this big old city all alone. I wish I was back home in Georgia, back home in Georgia, where there's a little more understanding, and the world ain't so demanding, and my baby waits for me to come back home. Yes, I wish I was back home in Georgia, back home in Georgia, instead of this big old city all alone. I wish I was back home in Georgia, back home in Georgia, where there's a little more understanding, and the world ain't so demanding, and my baby waits for me to come back home. Yes, I wish I was back home in Georgia, back home in Georgia, instead of this big old city all alone. I wish I...
Women loved them and he left them one by one. singing songs and painting mental pictures in your mind. Seeking understanding, sharing other people's dreams, but never having one to call his own.
My good friend Johnny Woodlock on Way Back with Johnny. I hope you're enjoying the show.
I'm eastbound 401.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time of the program to welcome a very special guest of honor onto our program from this past year of 2025. With that mentioned, I had the great opportunity to sit down finally after years of wanting to with Marty Robbins' son, Ronnie Robbins. And so with that, we would like to pay tribute to this second interview, and that of course is with Ronnie from September of this past year. Now, following this interview with Ronnie Robbins, the son of Marty, I would like to pay tribute to a brand new recording. Well, not so much a brand new recording as it is a brand new designed recording from the Grand Ole Opry Archives of Marty Robbins and also Marty Stewart. Now, this has just been released on the 100th anniversary of the Opry's vinyl, and it is called Full Circle, which you can get at your local record stores. But with that, it's going to be Marty Robbins and Marty Stewart doing their all-time classic called El Paso. So with that, let's turn back the months to September of this past year and remember another all-time favorite interview from this past year with Ronnie Robbins. Here he is, friends. Let's go back to what it was like growing up as the son of country music's Marty Robbins.
Well, I don't know how to compare that because that's the only way I grew up. I didn't grow up as anybody else's son. So
very true.
It's a tough question, really. I try to imagine what it might be like, but
it just came natural then.
Yeah, it did. Okay. I mean, he was not Marty Robbins at home. He was just Dad.
Okay.
And you know, of course, we. A lot of people talk about you know, fishing with Dad. You know, growing up, we went to the racetrack.
Okay.
Because we both love racing. You know, stock car racing, midget racing, whatever, any kind of midget. You know, any kind of race car.
Yes.
That there was, we were usually at the track somewhere.
I see.
You know, growing up, and I know that you know, I never did learn to fish, and I don't think he cared for it either, to be honest with you. He could fish, but I never cared for the taste of fish. And it turned out I was allergic to lobster and red snapper fish.
Oh, wow.
And three or four other kinds of fish. And so I found out why I didn't like fish.
So, I see, yes.
But,
for sure. So we were mentioning that he was born September 26, 1925, in Glendale, Arizona.
Yes.
What was it like growing up for him?
They were... And I can go by some of the pictures that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
They had it pretty rough. His dad left the family when he was 12, when Daddy was 12.
Okay.
And the last thing he did was throw a hammer at him.
Oh, wow.
And he missed, and Daddy picked it up and threw it back and hit him in the chest.
Oh, wow. So, yes.
So he was pretty abusive to the family, apparently. But this, you know, it was during the Depression. There was a lot of
stress. And stuff,
you know, a lot of stress all around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They lived he you know, when things were going bad, you know, he would be, you know, he wind up drinking, you know, and then you know, he got a business going to restaurants and picking up food, you know, that was discarded.
Yes.
And taking it to a hog farm and selling it to the hog farmers.
Okay.
So he's making good money there for a while. So, you know, when he's making good money, then he started drinking.
Yes, true. Yes.
Either way, if he wasn't making money, he was drinking, and if he was making money, he was drinking. So
his father was more or less a very abusive person in general then.
Yeah, he was, and I think that that had a lot to do with Daddy's insecurities growing up. You know, he wasn't very, you know, he was only like 5'7", and so he was always a little insecure about his height.
Yes.
And you know, he judging by the boots that he wore on stage, they had about 3-inch lifts.
Oh, wow. Yes, I see.
You know, to they were disguised pretty well. You couldn't tell by looking at it.
Exactly. But, that's right.
But, yes. But yeah, he... But he, you know, to me, he was 10 feet tall on stage.
Of course, and to a lot of us, he was too, yes, for sure.
You know, he just, he came alive. He didn't start that way. When he first started, he learned to play guitar when he was in the Navy.
Okay.
He was in the South Sea Islands during the last part of World War II, and he saw some action at the invasion of the Bougainville Islands that were down at, you know, in the south, and the Solomon Islands.
Okay.
And but they were at sea for, you know, 4 months at a time without ever touching land. And he taught himself to play guitar and fight the boredom, you know. And then when they were in the South Sea Islands or Hawaii, he fell in love with Hawaiian music.
And that's, you know, where his love for those albums came from then.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. The first albums he did, maybe not the very first, but the second and third, were the Hawaiian songs. And he loved the way that the men would, you know, break into a falsetto, because, you know, the women didn't sing, so the men had to sing the high parts.
I see.
And they learned to do a falsetto, where, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a yodel in a way.
Exactly.
But,
yes.
But that's how he learned to do the falsetto, and that was one of his trademarks, really, in some of his first songs, like Devil Woman. And when he got back, when he got out of the service in 1948, the war ended in 1946. He,
yes.
He went in 1943.
Okay.
And I guess he got out in 1947, and 1947, and he, you know, kind of, it was what they called it, the 5220 club, I think. He got $20 a week from the government for 52 weeks.
Okay, I see.
So,
yes.
So he that bought him gas for his motorcycle, and he rode around and was pretty much a hoodlum for for about a year.
For sure. I
but
see.
I mean, in a good
yes,
natured
of course.
Way, you know.
Yes, yes.
But then he started working. He you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, through those three things, he said three things had to happen. I have to get a record deal, a writer contract, and a spot on the Opry. And he got all three of those within 6 months.
Amazing.
And he said, that's the only way he'll ever move. He loved Phoenix so much, you know. Going back to El Paso then, El Paso was around 1957, 58. We were going to Phoenix for Christmas one in 1958, I think. And, you know, my mom was driving. I remember, you know, we'd drive. It'd take 3 days.
Yes.
You know, back then, you know, on the old highway, you know.
The two-lane highways, exactly.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. he was in the back seat with his little guitar about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I remember waking up. Mama was driving. I was about 9 or 10 years old, I guess. And he had this little, you know, yellow legal pad, you know, and he'd sing a verse, and he'd write something down, and he'd sing another verse, and he'd write something down. I looked at Mama, and she looked at me, and she said, "Well, that's kind of nice."
Exactly. Well,
never thought any more about it.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
But then you know, if we'd get as far as like Lordsburg, New Mexico, and he'd put his guitar down, then he'd lay back and go to sleep, or else he'd start driving again.
Okay.
We get to Phoenix, and, you know, never thought anything more about it. Now, on the way back, he started writing some more.
Yes, okay.
And then about 4 months later, he brought an acetate, which, you know, like an early reference dub, of this session that he just cut, and it was El Paso.
I see.
And, and then, you know, when it came out in the, I guess in the fall of 59.
Yeah.
And you know, and it just kept climbing until.
And all these years later, it's a standard. Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been a good one.
Yes, it has.
It's been a mighty good one.
For sure, for sure.
Anyway, so.
So how did he come to do like Felina and El Paso City off of those ones? Because of course they would be spinoffs of them.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
He wrote Felina, I think, for he was doing a little TV show called The Drifter.
Okay.
It had like a Western motif, you know. It's 13 shows, and he had to come up with music that kind of fit the
feeling.
Genre of the TV show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know really how he came up with it, but he wrote it, and he kept writing and kept writing and kept writing.
Exactly.
And it was 8 minutes long when
it's amazing.
Writing, so.
Yes, for sure.
So, it flows like a movie script, you know.
That's right.
And
now, was there ever any thoughts of movies for that El Paso song?
Yeah, I've been talking with people through the years. It just never has worked out.
I got
connected with the right people at the right time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it'll ever happen, but,
okay.
But you know, Westerns come around every 10 years or so.
Yes, there is. Yes,
and it may happen yet, but I've got to find the energy to do it now.
Of course,
I'm getting too old to do it. So.
I hear you. Yes, for sure.
But,
another thing I'd like to debunk from you is they always talked about the Grand Ole Opry and turning the clocks back.
Uh huh.
How did that ever get started?
it just started out as a running joke, and they did just he'd run over every 2 or 3 minutes, and it was kind of running joke with Harold Hensley initially, then Tony Lyons was the DJ at one time, and then Chuck Morgan finally over. The various Opry announcers, you know, and they, because he'd keep the audience going, you know, he'd just go from one to another.
Yes.
And they just kept clapping, you know, and finally the clock, it was just an old dial clock on the wall, you know, on the not the wall, but the announcer's podium.
Yes.
And it was in full view of the audience, you know, and so he did it one time, and then got such a big hand that he just started doing it regularly.
Kept going.
And,
yes, sir.
And
yes.
So made Ernest Tubb kind of mad because
yes,
he went into
of course.
His radio show.
Uh-huh, yes. Yes.
But he was, nobody else seemed to mind.
For sure, for sure.
That is not a debunk. That was
fact. Okay.
That was right up to the last time he was on.
What plans are for the 100th anniversary of his birth? I know there's a lot of talk on Facebook and different places about his centennial.
Yeah, we are part of the Opry's having their 100th birthday celebration, and they did the top 20 of all-time songs on the Opry, and one of them is El Paso.
Amazing. Yeah.
And they have put, they call it a mashup. It's Daddy doing the first part of, he's doing the first 2 minutes or so of El Paso,
mm-hmm.
and then it blends into Marty Stewart doing El Paso, and they found footage of both of them doing it on the stage of the Opry.
Nice.
And they were both in the same key and the same tempo.
Wow.
And it's really a neat thing they're doing. They've made a DVD or a CD of all 20 of the songs, you know, that they have chosen, and we're part of that.
Nice.
So we're excited about that, and it actually will debut on the 26th.
Oh, nice!
Not sure. It was supposed to debut at 10 o'clock on next Friday.
Okay,
But I'll
keep an eye on that.
I don't know where.
I see. Yes, for sure.
But I guess it'll either be CMT or Opry Television or, you know,
yes.
Or another. I'm not sure.
Could be WSM 650 too. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's probably where it's,
yeah,
you know,
I see.
Going to be mostly. So it'll probably be on the internet.
Yes.
But we're part of that, and ironically, that's the day that's released is his birthday.
It's his birthday. I see.
Yeah. So his 100th birthday. So.
Sure.
So that timing couldn't have worked out any better there. So
exactly.
So,
for sure.
But I really wanted to do more, but I just kind of, I got to be honest, I just kind of let it sneak up.
Yes, I this is it. Yes, exactly. Yes, it has a way. Yes.
But this, you know, I love Marty Stewart, and we've been friends, and he was named after Daddy, you know.
Yes.
A lot of people didn't know that. But
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, his mom was a big Marty Robbins fan.
I see.
And so she named him after Marty Robbins. So.
Nice.
So there's that connection there, and Marty did just a super job on El Paso. You know, it's not the easiest song to do.
No, it isn't.
Sound right.
That's,
you know,
right.
Mm-hmm. And they worked the harmony up and did everything they were supposed to do, and it turned out really, really nice. So.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad that, you know, that will be something that will be celebrated, I think, you know,
okay,
for a few years. So,
yeah. I guess one last question is, what would you say to your dad if he was still here to celebrate his 100th? I know he passed away at 57, so.
Probably, you want to go to Daytona?
Exactly, yes.
You know, yeah. Oh, gosh, you know. He's been gone so long, it's hard to
believe. Yeah.
I don't even know what there'd be so many things, because, you know, I still occasionally will have a dream.
Yes.
You know, wake up and it will seem so real in a way, but yet, you know,
yes,
the realization comes in, you know, that it's not. But like you say, I mean, it's been
almost 43 years, yeah.
43 years, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felino would work. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felino, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind, yeah. Dashing and daring, a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I love. So in anger I challenged his right for the love of this maid. Now with his hand for the gun that he wore,
My challenge was answered in less than a heartbeat. The handsome young stranger lay dead on the floor. Just for a moment I stood there in silence, shocked with the foul evil deed I had done. Many thoughts raced through my mind as I stood there. I had but one chance and that was to run. Out through the back door of roses I ran. Out where the horses were tall. Up on his back and away I did run. Just as fast as I could from the West Texas town of El Paso onto the badlands of New Mexico. Back in El Paso, my life would be worthless. Everything's gone in life, nothing is left. It's been so long since I've seen a young maiden. My love is stronger than my fear of death. I saddled up and away I did go, riding alone in the dark. Maybe tomorrow a bullet may find me. Tonight nothing's worse than this pain in my heart. And at last here I am on a hill overlooking El Paso. I can see Rosa's Cantina below. My love is strong and it pushes me onward. Down off the hill to Felina I go. Off to my right I see 500 cowboys. Off to my left, right a dozen or more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I've got to make it to Rose's back door. Something is dreadfully wrong, for I feel a deep burning pain in my side. Though I am trying to stay in the saddle, I'm getting weary, unable to ride. But my love for Felina is strong, and I rise where I've fallen. Though I am weary, I can't stop to rest. I see the white puff of smoke from the rifle. I feel the bullet go deep in my chest. From out of nowhere, Felina has found me, kissing my cheek as she kneels by my side. Two loving arms that I'll die for. One little kiss and Felina, goodbye.
El Paso.
Now, friends, I do hope y'all enjoyed that interview with our good friend Ronnie Robbins of country music fame. And with that, we would like to once again, before we send us into the third and final hour, pay tribute to another legend we lost this past January. It was a year ago, January the 5th, that we lost the legendary Peter Yarrow at the age of 86. Now, before we send us into the third and final hour, I'd like to pay tribute to this singing folk icon of the folk music movement of the 60s, who not only recorded the classic Puff the Magic Dragon, but also wrote it. And in memory of Peter Yarrow, I'd like to play that all-time classic before playing us into the third and final hour with that. Here he is, friends, from the 1960s era and the folk movement, that all-time classic called Puff the Magic Dragon.
Little Jackie Paper loved it. dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Together they make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more, and Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain.
Well, yes, friends, once again, we have reached the end of another hour here at the Way Back Johnny Woodlock Show. And with that mentioned, I would like to send us into the third and final hour of this morning's program and the last Sunday in December, but also the last Sunday for 2025, with remembering another icon of legendary music that we lost this past year. And that, of course, is Miss Lulu Roman, who passed away on April 23rd at the age of 78. Also a much beloved character in the Hee Haw program for many years. I was also fortunate enough to have Miss Lulu on the program over the years as well. And before we play her classic song called That's the Man I'm Looking For, I'd like to play a little clip about how this song came about from that interview from way back in 2017. So here now is our late great friend, Miss Lulu Roman, and we will talk to you on the other side of the third and final hour. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening. That's the Man I'm Looking For. Would you tell us about that song?
That was one of and still is one of the ones that's most requested. First time I sang it, Lori Acuff was off to the side.
Yes.
And he came up and said, "That's the prettiest song I've ever heard." And I said, "I think it's kind of catchy." "You reckon I could sing that song?" I said, "Honey, your name's Lori Acuff. I reckon you could sing any song you wanted to."
That's right.
And ended up, I traded him. I said, "I'll trade you for an 8x10 pedal picture." Because Miss Minnie come in a couple of days before and she was crying. I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "I've been on the stage with Roy for 50 years, and I've never had a picture, and he just brought me one of his autographs." And it moved her so much, she was in tears. So when he said, "You reckon I could sing that song?" I said, "I'll make a deal with you. You give me an 8x10 color picture, and I'll give you that song." He ended up singing it on Hee Haw, and eventually sang it on the Grand Ole Opry every time he set foot on that stage after that.
And I believe you two sang it together, did you not?
We did. We sang it on the offering.
What was that like?
It was wonderful. I loved him. He was so precious. He was such a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. If you see a man in white that's like no one you've seen before, send him on to me, 'cause that's the man I'm looking for. And if you can remember, ask him what's his name, and if he tells you Jesus, just say, we're so glad you came. Tell him you know someone who still calls him Lord. Then send him on to me, 'cause that's the man I'm looking for. The love glows.